one verse, and then I'm going to let you be seated, and I'll continue reading on here in a moment. Turn to verse number 7. John chapter 5 and verse number 7. John chapter number 5. Verse number 7. If the man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." I want us to look at this, a certain portion of this verse. Where the man says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled." What does that sound like to you? "I don't have anybody." What's that sound like? It kind of sounds like an excuse. How many of us have an excuse tonight? This man had a great excuse. "I don't have anybody." You're able to walk in here where God has moved time and time again. I've seen countless people healed, touched, and miraculous things happen. But this man that was sick, not just for one day, not just for 10 years, not just for 20 years. We find, I'm going to read this here a little bit later, but we find that he was sick for 38 years. For 38 years, this man had an excuse. Because someone else went before him. Amen. The church would help me, amen, and back me a little bit here tonight with the presence of the Lord. I already feel the Holy Ghost here because I don't have to ask him to be here because he's already here. I just need you to help me a little bit here tonight. Amen. I want to preach to us just a little bit here on actions over excuses. Actions over excuses. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for how you've moved here in this service, God. Time and time again, you have met us. God, you are faithful. You are true. God, you stand fast beside us, God, trying to lead us and guide us. I pray here tonight that you would help us, God, to, Lord, open up our hearts, God, and that we would hear, God, what your Spirit would say to us. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to these altars. God, help us to realize, God, where we're at in our daily walk. God, and when we come into your house, God, our position that we are placed in, I pray tonight that you would anoint my mouth, God, and my lips to speak, God, the words you have placed in my mind and in my heart through your word. I pray that you'd move here tonight. In your precious name, amen. You can be seated tonight. I found this quote, and I have no idea who spoke it or wrote it. I can't find it now, so I guess Arthur Unknown. But it simply says this about excuses. Excuses will always be there for you. But opportunity won't. I want to just simply take this and turn it into a spiritual phrase. The Spirit of God is moving. Excuses will give you every reason why not to step into the water while it is troubled. Okay? This man was at the pool for 38 years. I want us to look at this quote and look at him, the same picture. He had plenty of excuses. I'll get over there next year. He might have had a good spot right by the fire. I really hate to give this spot up. It's better than the spot I have at home. We get into a rut of making an excuse. I just can't make it. Extra 30 minutes before church starts. I don't want that extra 30 minutes for my nap. Amen. I know some of you don't take naps, but I've heard you talk about it. I'm not going to go there. Leave that one alone, Lucas. So what happens is we begin to make excuses. And excuses. and excuses. And before we know it, the Spirit of God has passed us by, and he's moved on to somebody else that's been getting blessed for the last 14 weeks of how the power and the presence of God has been moving. We keep making an excuse instead of having an action. Isaac, show me an action. Wave an action. Amen. Timothy, show me an action. He's waving both of them. Come on, I got to have somebody. Grant, can you show me an action? I've seen some of you guys, I'm calling on some of the young ones because I want them to try and do something. That shows a little more action. A little more action. Now, dancing, on the other hand, he shows us what action means. Whenever dancing gets a chance to get out in the pew, outside the pew, what does he do? He runs. He doesn't run one direction. When he knows dad or mom's coming, he jukes and goes another way. I'll swing through an aisle here. I'll run over there. What is that? That's action. That's motion. Whenever the Spirit of God we find throughout the Word of God, whenever he would move on someone, that there was no longer an excuse why they couldn't do something, because there was an action that took place whenever he touched them. The ones that could no longer walk began to walk whenever he spoke to them. The ones that couldn't speak, that the only thing they did was make no sense, all of a sudden, perfect words came out of their mouth. Whenever there was a man that was full, amen, of demons, amen, that was unclothed, when the Spirit of God spoke to him, an action had to take place. The excuses had to leave. Those legions had to go elsewhere. Why? Because we serve a God of action. Amen. In the beginning, amen, the Word was God with God. Amen. And why did that happen? Because he came to give life. When he spoke, light came into existence. When he spoke, man began to take in breath. I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God of actions, not excuses. Hallelujah. We find in this verse, verse number 4 of chapter 5 here, it says, "For an angel went down at a certain season." Certain season. We get a timeline here. It happened at a certain season every year. It was set in stone. Because I'm sure when this first started to happen, when the first person got healed, they said, "Oh boy, I got to tell everybody. The angel is going to come down. He's going to step into the stir of the waters." Well, then we find that there's a whole host of people that's waiting on this season. And when the Spirit of God moved, they were there instant in season for their healing, for their deliverance. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, I want to encourage us that the Spirit of God is moving. Amen. You're going to feel it all over this sanctuary. But let me just tell you a secret. Running across the front of this place is what we call our altar area. I just tell you, up here, it's found to be a little bit sweeter. Because it gets us out of our comfort zone. Because it's easy. I'm going to pick on Brother John here for just a minute because he so blessed my heart the other night. Because he didn't use an excuse. How many in here has ever had children? Somebody that sat beside you that was little that you had to watch. Whether it was yours or somebody else's. We can say, well, that's an excuse. Brother John didn't let that be his excuse. He grabbed up old Jansen and he went, "What was he doing? What am I doing? I'm making an action." Because he wasn't allowing an excuse to keep him from moving up in the Spirit of God. Why? What did he just testify about? That he's felt something every time he's been in service. Why is that, Brother Gary? It's because he's not willing to let an excuse keep him
from being put into action. Amen. We find in the Word of God that there was a woman that had a disease, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Amen. We find that she was down upon her hands and upon her knees, crawling through the crowd, and Jesus was a man of action. He was headed somewhere to heal somebody's daughter. But we find as he is struggling, pressing through the crowd, that there was a woman that had an issue of blood and needed to touch Jesus. And she was not willing to say, the crowd's too thick. Amen. She's not willing to say, my hands are going to get stepped on. I'm already hurting. But instead, she pressed through. She didn't use an excuse anymore. She pushed all the way till she got what she needed. Hallelujah. This man had all the excuses. We don't know his background. We don't know if he was raised in church. He had some knowledge because he was sitting at the pool waiting on an angel. He was just waiting. Let me show you guys something here real quick. Let me show you something. Amen. Ever going to get over? Why ain't anybody doing anything? Y'all kind of looking at me kind of funny. But you don't realize I get to see your funny face all the time. The Spirit of God looks down on us. I had a job I'm supposed to be doing. What was I doing? Sitting down on the job. I know, I see him, Pastor. He was getting excited. Give me that microphone. We find countless reasons why we can't do something. But I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God is like a rushing mighty wind and a river that has been flowing through here. Sunday service after Sunday service. Thursday service after Thursday service. Why is that happening? I'm here to tell you because the waters are troubled, church. We don't need to wait and let our time of visitation to pass us by. How many in here have a need? Whether it's physical, spiritual, monetary, really don't matter. A need. You got needs. What's keeping you from getting them? What's your excuse? Now, the reason I'm so passionate and kind of blunt about this is because God has asked me this question. What is your excuse? See, I was supposed to do something not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before. Told my wife, I said, honey, I'll try and drag all the Christmas lights down out of the attic and hang them on the house. Said, but you're going to have to first bring me my staple gun. Where was my staple gun? At the church. Why was it at the church? Because that's where I used it for projects. So she brings me my staple gun and finds the staples. It took me a little while to find it. Dad had to help me find it all. So it gets to the house. And it's time for me to hang Christmas lights. Brother Gary, what do I find? I find an excuse. I said, well, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if I had this and if I had that. So I build up this huge list of excuses. So a week goes by almost. Guess what? Lights still aren't up. We're on our way back from Kansas City, and I said, I'm going to stop at Home Depot in Pittsburgh, and I'm going to get those things that I need. And Saturday morning, I'm hanging your lights. She said, oh, okay. Well, Saturday morning rolls around. I get up, stretching. Man, I gotta hang those lights. So I told Lindsay, I said, "Where's? Didn't you get some new lights? I didn't want to have to string out all the old ones and find out where the bulbs would burn out and all this stuff. I was making more. Anybody in here have any? Oh, man, I'm getting some. Oh, yeah, come on now, church. She said, oh, I bought 5 new boxes last year when they were discounted, 50% off. I said, great. I'm going somewhere with this. There comes a point in our life where we have to decide whether we're going to keep making excuses or if we're going to step into action. So what did I do, Sister Betty? I climbed up in the attic, dug through some Mimi Christmas stuff, found these bags that she told me they were in. And lo and behold, they were there. I get them out and I take them down. And I go out and I get the ladder and I get it set out there. And she said, hey, before you get to putting the lights up, let's eat some lunch. I was like, yes. So as soon as I got done eating lunch, you know what I wanted to make? Was an excuse. But instead of making an excuse, I stretched out the ladder and took action. And after it was all said and done, I was up on the roof, got everything hooked up, plugged up. I get down, and it gets dark. Plug them in. Lindsay and London go outside, and they were excited. They would not have had that excitement if I had not taken action. Now, I want to preach to us here for just a minute. I draw this story out because I want us to realize they would not have had that excitement if I had not taken action. And we want to have other people get excited. But in order for them to get excited, sometimes it takes us going and stepping out and saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take some action. I'm going to go ahead and press forward. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and lift my hands. Amen. Brother Isaac, clap your hands. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and clap my hands. Brother Timmy, go ahead and raise your hands. I'm going to go ahead and raise my hands. Amen. What's happening? Amen. We begin to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and what you're going to do. I'm not making an excuse, but instead I'm taking action. Sister Millie stated before church started, she said, I'm in a lot of pain and I'm hurting, but I don't want to miss church. She had an excuse. But instead, she took action. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time that we step out. We don't wait 38 years, but instead we take opportunity. Amen, of the chance that we have tonight. He was there with an infirmity. 38 years. I've been sick for a day or two. Been plumb tired of it, Pastor. I know you were sick for, what, almost 10 days? 8 days? I know he was tired of it. Uncle Steve's had it for 8 days, 10 days now. I seen him the other day. He's tired of it. Whenever you get tired of something, what usually happens? We try to find something to remedy the issue. But I want to tell us a little something here. We sometimes get so comfortable with human nature because it's comfortable that we don't mind making an excuse for it. Because it's our old nature. That's why we have to do what Paul said. I crucify this man daily. I have to get up every morning and I have to nail him to the tree. We've got to make a decision here tonight whether we're going to make another excuse or if we're going to take action and be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Or we're going to sit in our chair, amen, and look at somebody else and say, I sure wish they'd take action. I'm here to tell you tonight, your opportunity is now. Now is your window to stand up and to step out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We find that after his excuses, Jesus asked him, he said, wilt thou not be made whole? He said, man, I've been sitting here waiting on somebody, but nobody's came along to help me. The old me complex. Oh, it's me. Oh, it's me. There's nobody here to help me. Y'all kind of looking at me with that look of like, I can't believe he's going there. That's not right. That tells me it's the truth. We'd rather bite on our nails, look on our phone, and say, Lord, it's me. Let me get this over with. We find every reason why we can't read our Bible when we're at home. I've been there. Oh, hey, football's on tonight. Or I got to go babysit the kids, or I got to go and do this, or I've got to go and do that. He took time out of his busy schedule, church, to come down and walk and be tempted just like you was, Brother Matthew. And yet we can't do anything to glorify him. Brother Mike, I'll just wait on him to come. And when he comes and grabs a hold of me and says, come on, come on, come on, we'll finally move. He wants us to move when he speaks. He says, Jamie, get up. Jamie, sit down. What just happened? She didn't argue with me. You think she wasn't my sister? Amen. We find that Jesus asked him a question. You want to be whole? He said, of course I do. I've been sitting here for 38 years. Don't think I want to be whole? Well, how long's it been since you've seen somebody in your family healed? How long's it been since you've got down on your hands and knees in prayer and God came and met you in your room? We find that Jesus spoke to him in verse 8 and he says, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to talk to us here for just a minute. Amen. I'm going to close here in just a second. I'm not going to get all the way through this, but that's okay. Whenever the Spirit of God speaks to us and we respond, we take action, something happens. It has to happen because it's God's natural order. In the beginning, when God spake, it had to happen. Whenever Jesus Christ stepped out on that boat and said, let the wind cease, let the storm stop, what happened? It had to obey. The disciples said, who is this man that even the winds and the seas obey? I'm here to tell you tonight that the same Jesus that stepped out and calmed those windy storms is the same Jesus that's walking the front of this church saying, won't you come? Oh, won't you come, sons? Won't you come, daughters? Come and meet with me. He wants us to take action. Peter and John, when they were headed to the temple, there's a man that said, give me some alms. Been lame since my birth. Give me some alms. Don't even have any shoes on my feet. Give me some alms. My coat's a little ragged. Give me some alms. Can't you see my hat's wore out? Give me some alms. Peter and John looked at him and said, hey boy, this is what I've got for you. Silver and gold. And he stretched out, no doubt.
Do you fill my cup?
Silver and gold. Have I none, but such as I have, I give it to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he went running and leaping and praising God. He no longer had an excuse. He had to take action. Philip was having a great revival. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes to him and says, hey, go out in the desert. Runs across this old boy that's reading out of the Bible. He said, I don't know what I'm reading. Philip hops in there and says, hey, let me explain this to you. After he gets done, he says, man, what do I got to do? What I've got to take action because the Spirit of God has spoke to my heart. He said, hey, look, there's a little water spot. Let take me out and baptize me there. What began to happen? The power of God began to move because of one man being obedient and one man taking action and not having an excuse. Because he had them. They were having a great move of God there where he was at. But he was sent into the desert. What's in the desert? Nothing. You might get lucky and see a cactus. What's that got to offer? A few pokes? Like, ow. I don't like it. I've grabbed a hold of a couple of them. They hurt. A couple stickers. And we find that after this happens, the Spirit spake unto Philip and pulled him up from where he was at and took him to another place. And he was found there preaching and sharing the gospel. Why? Because he was willing to take action and not make up an excuse. Because he could have said, man, Lord, I've been out walking in this desert for days. I'll just sit here with this rich Ethiopian man and let him take me to where I need to go. We wonder why the presence of God stops moving sometimes is because we say, oh, pit stop. Here's my excuse. I was talking to my brother right before church. He's been driving. He's driving back from Kentucky, headed back to Kansas City. And he said, man, I'm exhausted, tired. Everybody in the car is asleep, and I'm tired. So I called him to take action. He was pulling into St. Louis. He said, I'm going to stop and get out and stretch my legs and get some coffee. Get something to snack on, and I'll be good for the next 3.5 hours. What was he doing? He could have said, well, I'm so tired, I don't feel like getting out and getting anything. Would that help anything? No, but sometimes we sit there, and we the presence of God is moving. I'm just too tired. I had a touch from him last weekend, or I shouted on the platform, or I shouted around the altars, or I ran around the church, Brother Timothy. But I'm here to tell you, once isn't enough. It's time that we take action day in and day out. Samson lost his eyes, but he never, in the end, he did not lose his purpose. His eyes were gone. But he knelt down and said, God, would you move on me one more time? We look at him and say, what a wasted potential. How many years was his eyes gouged out that he could have done great things? We can look at him and say that, but so many times I'm guilty of the same thing. Because I get to a point where I'm comfortable. And I find an excuse. Hey man, I need to close. Job lost everything. But he found out that his Redeemer liveth. Esther risked her life, but found favor for a nation. Daniel lost his position, but found his power in prayer. Stephen was the catalyst that sent Saul on that road that turned him from Saul into Paul. Why was that? How did that happen? Because that man named Stephen was willing, amen, to testify for the truth of the gospel, no matter what came against him. Paul was a great missionary that reached countless individuals. Church, I'm here to tell you that we must have the here am I attitude. Not the I'm tired, find somebody else. We sometimes don't realize the position that Isaiah was in. He just buried a dear relative of his. And then all of a sudden, the post, the tabernacle is being moved. Train that fills the temple. And the voice that shakes the very center of who he is. He says, I am not worthy. And then the Spirit of God says, you might not be worthy, but here, let me make you worthy. Bring off a coal from off the altar. I'm here to tell you these altars, amen, as Pastor has said time and time again, are always open. And when he makes that claim, I feel guilty because I'm not already there. Amen, that announcement should not be made. We should be found when the Spirit of God comes forth. We should not be found in the pew, but we should be found in an altar saying, God, speak to me. Let me be a man of action. Let me be a woman of action, not of excuses. Jesus made this statement in Matthew, and I'm closing. Sister Pepper, if you come to the piano, that way I'll be forced to close. Amen. In Matthew, Jesus made this statement and said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing tonight? Because both fruits can be produced in the pew. Just because you're in church don't mean you're living right. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're sanctified and holy. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Once sanctified, everything's all done. It's not. It's a continual. It's a daily walk. We have to make a decision that I'm going to be full of action and not excuses. Sister April was testifying about that youth group. See, I was a church that was only about 35 or 40 miles away. I remember that youth group. Going into church services and seeing the power of God move like I've never seen move before. But I'm here to tell you, we've been having those moves right here in this sanctuary. And if we want to see them continue to grow in strength, it takes us being sensitive to his voice whenever he speaks, saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. Help me to step out. That Roman centurion did not have to go to Jesus Christ, but he did. We find Peter had a choice to stay in his fishing boat or to follow Jesus Christ. He would have never had that experience, church, of stepping out of the prison when he was chained to a man, walking through gates, walking past guards, if he had not said yes. How many likes to have a good experience? You do. How many loves it when the power of God so fills your heart that you feel like you could walk on water? I want to challenge us here tonight and encourage us that you are being called to take action. But it is up to you whether you will step out or whether you will step back and make an excuse. Are excuses easy to come by? Yes, they are. Excuses are always with you. But opportunity won't be. Church, stand. Right now, this place up here is an opportunity. And it is waiting on you, Brother Gary. Sister Jamie, it's waiting on you. Sister Betty, it's waiting on you. Jonathan, it's waiting on you. John, it's waiting on you. Let me tell you a little secret. That little fella back there, Jansen, he's waiting on you. Grant, he's waiting on you. He's watching you. Timothy, them guys we work with, waiting on you.
I wouldn't walk.
Pastor,
I'd run.
Who's the church waiting on? They're waiting on us. I'm here to tell you tonight, Brother Mike, that the way has been made. The rivers of the presence of God is already flowing. And He's simply waiting on us to take action. That's my altar call tonight. If you want to be a person of action, there's some that's already coming. Find yourself a place. Take action. Don't make an excuse. Step out past it. Let God move, work, change, and challenge your life tonight.